The other drug that is noteworthy to mention is bevacizumab. And the reason for that is bevacizumab was really the first drug in kidney cancer presented by Jim Yang in a New England Journal of Medicine article in 2003 that demonstrated an improvement in progression-free survival. And although the time to progression was better, it was unclear exactly how to develop the drug. There ensued a series of trials, the second of which we presented last year at ASCO. Ron Bukowski was the presenter, where we discussed bevacizumab and erlotinib versus bevacizumab and placebo, showing that about 13 to 14% of patients had objective responses, and another 60 to 65% of patients had stable disease, but the addition of erlotinib added no benefit with respect to progression-free survival, resulting in the statement that it appeared that bevacizumab alone had substantial activity in untreated patients with progression-free survivals that were in the 8 to 9 month range.
What about objective response rates to Bev alone?
So the objective response rate to bevacizumab alone are about 13 to 14% in previously untreated patients, about 10% in previously treated patients. But again, the important thing for the oncologist to note is that it's the overall disease control rate of about 80% that is the significant piece of information, and to not focus just on the objective response rate. So there are two trials that are taking place, one in the United States, principal investigator is Brian Rini with the cooperative groups, and the second in the European theater, where Bernard Escudier was the principal investigator. Each of these trials was a comparison of bevacizumab and interferon versus an interferon control with or without placebo. We are fortunate to know that a press release just recently has shown that the trial that compared bevacizumab and interferon as compared to interferon and placebo was a statistically positive trial with an improvement in progression-free survival with the bevacizumab-treated group compared to the control group. Although we have only seen the press release thus far, this is an important finding, and we expect to see these results presented in oral presentation at ASCO.
What was the side effects and tolerability profile, the combination?
Right. So we don't have much information yet on the side effect profile of bevacizumab and interferon in combination, because it's really never yet been reported except in phase one trials. It's important to note this, and that is that bevacizumab, when given alone, has a very good tolerability. The major side effects of bevacizumab alone when given intravenously on an every 2 week basis are basically hypertension and having to watch out for proteinuria, which could lead to nephrotic syndrome, but doesn't really have the associated lethargy, anorexia, hand-foot syndrome, and some of the other immunosuppressive complications associated with the tyrosine kinase inhibitors. We do need to look at carefully what happens when interferon is added, because obviously interferon does have toxicity when given on a 3 times a week schedule. But I think the more important thing for the oncologist is that we're probably going to now have, after 2007 ASCO, three drugs in randomized trials compared with interferon in untreated patients which have shown benefit: sunitinib, temsirolimus, and bevacizumab in combination with interferon.